We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yo, what's good, Knicks Nation? Welcome back to another Game of the Week preview. Of course, we got to keep this train rolling. Knicks are up 2-0 in the series against the Philadelphia 76ers as John's shaking his head. You already know what it is. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Subscribe to the channel if you've already done so, and make sure to support our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Use that promo code KFTV to get up to a $100 match. With me on the other side is it's my friend. Been on the show before. We covered the Sixers and Knicks series early during the regular season. My guy John Gonzalez. If you all don't know, he works with who was on the show last night, Ashley Nicole Moss. You can find him over at CBS Sports Radio. John, how are you doing today, my man? How are you feeling?
Alex, great to see you. I wish the circumstances were different. I, as you mentioned, work at CBS Sports Network with Ashley Nicole Moss. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? I don't get dunked on enough during my day job by Knicks fans, so let me come on here with you.
Yeah, there you go. See, and now look, you get to, you should be ready for this, because as we discussed earlier during the season, you're like, Philly just doesn't surprise me with how they could collapse. So, you know, we're here. We're going to discuss the 76ers. But before we, I guess, go into like previewing game three,
right?
What are your thoughts after game two and on the series as a whole?
Series as a whole has been really good, tight, really closely contested, some great games, kind of what I expected. I thought it was going to be a battle. If you had told me that Jalen Brunson would be like super ineffective and inefficient and would only make like, I think he was 8 of 22 and 8 of 26, something like that. If you had told me that before the series started, I would 1000% think the Sixers would get at least one of those games. But ultimately, my opinion of the whole game two fiasco is kind of what Maxey said. Two things can be true at the same time. He got his jersey held, pretty obvious, should have been a foul, but also like the refereeing, you can't rely on the refereeing. You got to go win that game. They had a lot of different ways to win the game. Knicks closed it out. They've closed out their last three games in really impressive fashion, going back to that Bulls game in the final regular season game to get the 2 seed. They're up 2-0. What can you do? Keep it pushing.
Yeah, but you know, like I don't even look at it. And I know there's been a lot of discourse about the foul and like Maxey getting fouled and stuff of that nature. I mean, the game, the way I look at it too, is that there was a questionable call with that call being overturned by Lowry. And I'm like, at the end of the day, whether or not you ask for refs to make calls or so forth, in the last 2 minutes of the game, I've been asking, you know, let it play out. Let's see what happens unless it's so clear and obvious. But at the end of the day, and so with that being said, like, was it clear and obvious in the moment? I don't think it was that clear and obvious that he was getting fouled, because we can even go back beforehand where you see Maxey just shoved Josh Hart. So at the end of the day, it's like they're letting the game unfold, they're letting it happen. What it really comes down to is rebounding, and Knicks are just been out rebounding the Sixers in this matchup. Even the last game where it was by 2, that's really been the deciding factor in these games. So I don't really, like, I know there's been a whole lot of discourse about fouls, and I feel like there's certain games throughout the regular season where we can go towards that. Like, I look at that Rockets-Knicks game during the regular season where it was the one on Brunson where I forget who was on.
Yeah, he got trucked.
Yeah. Well, not Brunson, but it was like the call was against Brunson. I forget who it was. It was it's not Grant. It's one of the other brothers that's out there. But
Thompson, you know,
I'm sorry.
Was it Amen Thompson?
No, it wasn't Amen Thompson. But it was during that Knicks Rockets game. They were down in Houston, and it's like it was clearly not a foul. So what are we talking about here? That's where I see the game being altered, because it could have gone into OT, but they decided to end it right there.
That kind of brings up, I mean, this is a different discussion, but quite clearly post All-Star break, the refereeing has changed. The officiating has changed. They way overcorrected, because at the beginning of the season, you know, people were putting up 60 and 70 every other night. And NBA fans that are like a little bit older were like, nobody plays defense anymore. And does the NBA have a scoring problem? And then the NBA went, all right, let's adjust the officiating. We're not going to call as many fouls. We're going to have them swallow their whistles. And now, and like, and this is to Maxie's point too, like, you know, it's been a more physical kind of game, and you have to kind of plan for that now. You know, you may or may not like it, but that's the way that they are officiating it now after the All-Star break, and people should know that by now. And to your point, the free throw disparity was plus one Knicks. It's not like the Knicks shot a ton more free throws than the Sixers, and the Sixers missed a bunch that were important. Kyle Lowry missed two down the stretch that were important. Embiid, who is normally super reliable from the line, he missed a couple. You make your free throws, you end up winning that game in a different way. So, you know, these things happen.
For sure, and that's why I come down to like the end of the, like when it comes down to the foul call, like missed calls and so forth, the two-minute report, which honestly, I don't even need the two-minute report. As somebody who's been on the wrong side as a Knicks fan for a couple of games this season where, oh, we missed this, we missed that. It doesn't do anything but just incite the fan base, and maybe that's what the NBA wants, is just to incite the fan base. But if we're going to talk about the two-minute report, could we go throughout all 48 minutes and say what was missed, what was not missed, and then I think that would give a more clear picture, as Tom Thibodeau said, of like all the calls that have been missed, made, and so forth. So I don't know, man. I'm like, as a Knicks fan, I know it's easier for me to say I'm past that because we're up 2-0 in the series, but I totally understand why Sixers fans are a little frustrated. But at the end of the day, look, you talk about Lowry making some free throws and Embiid making free throws, you're getting some rebounds. You can't let a game be decided by the refs. We always say that on the show. You can't let a game be decided on the refs. So On to the next one, right? On to the next one. Salute to Knicks Nation. Thank you all for tuning in for another Game of the Week preview. With me on the other side is my guy, John Gonzalez. You can go over and find him over at CBS Sports Radio, where he covers the NBA with, you know who it is, Ashley Nicole Moss, who was here last night. If you haven't catched that roundtable, make sure to go check on that roundtable. Great panel. Jake Asman. Yeah, JD, Ashley Nicole Moss, and you also had George from Into the Knicks Verse. So make sure to go check that out if you haven't already done so. Let's keep this thing rolling. So, John, we talk about the foul discrepancy, all that, but let's talk about the players in general. I mean, you had a stellar performance from Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid in these first two games, and yet the Knicks are still able to go up 2-0. Is there any confidence from a Sixers fan standpoint that things can change? Because, look, you got D'Anthony Melton, who's been upgraded to questionable for tomorrow. Is his addition and anything else on that side give you confidence that the Knicks or the Sixers can take one or maybe two games in Philly?
I don't ever think I've used the word confidence in the same sentence as the Sixers. So I'm going to put that aside. Yeah, Melton helps. Melton's a really good player, but he's also dealing with an injury where he came back from it and then they had to shut him down immediately again. So I wonder how many minutes he's going to be able to go. I seriously doubt he's going to be able to start and go a full, you know, 30, 35, something like that. You mentioned Embiid and Maxey, and yeah, like despite the fact that Embiid is hobbled, those two guys have been really good. The problem is that the Knicks are up 2-0 without Jalen Brunson shooting very well. And like, I think the Sixers probably on paper have the best and third best player in the series. You put Brunson at two, right? After that, the Knicks probably have the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth best players in the series. They're so much deeper, right? I mean, like OG, Josh Hart all of a sudden can't miss a three-pointer. Dante DiVincenzo has had an awesome season since being asked to step up. Then you've got both big guys. Then throw in Deuce McBride, who like steps into the Emmanuel Quickley role and like just goes supernova. The Knicks are infinitely deeper after you get past Embiid and Maxey. It's like all the best players that you'd want on your team play for the Knicks.
And that, I appreciate the good nature of you saying that to us. I talk about basketball
for a living, man. I mean, like, it is what it is.
I'm glad that you're keeping it a buck because, you know, some people don't want to keep it a buck. But, but hey, look, I think the thing, though, is that they are role players. And I'll say this, like, they are role players. We do need Brunson to get back on track because you can only rely on role players so much, and they always do better at home than typically on the road. Does that mean they can't perform well on the road? No, we've seen that in the past. I mean, this season we still had Josh Hart and McBride go into
Josh
Philly.
Josh Hart's been awesome, man.
Yeah, he's been fantastic, man. I mean, he's a double. The numbers that he's putting up, you would think that he's ridiculous. Like Kevin Garnett almost, like in his prime, because for what he's doing getting as a shooting guard, it's like, wait, he's getting double doubles, not just like, you know, 10 rebounds, like 14 boards with 20 points. It's like prime KG type numbers, which is just insane to even be saying out loud.
He's a monster. I like every trade deadline until this past one, and he actually even talked about it at this past trade deadline. Every trade deadline, he's been rumored to be on the move because teams want him. And then the Knicks landed him and they're like, oh man, what a treasure this guy is. And like when OG and Julius went out and you having to move Dante and Josh Hart into the starting lineup, they really hit on something there because you know, Julius comes back eventually next season. You're gonna have to move one of those guys to the bench. My guess is Dante DiVincenzo, but either way, you've got such depth there and like automatic offense with those guys once they come in.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the way that this team has just been rolling right now, even without Randall, like it's just because everything's just been focused on Brunson so far without having another guy that you have to honor with a double team or even triple team. Like leaving Josh Hart open, who has been more confident in his shot, as we talked about, like that's been the key to the success so far. I mean, thankfully Dante came through as well, but getting back to what I was saying, like you need Brunson to show up at some point. We need him in game three, because now you're talking about being on the road. You're going to be going against Embiid and Maxey, who've just been stellar. And if they can do that at MSG, how can they not do that at home on their own home court? And then you talk about role players always thriving when they're home. Like, stars got to be stars, which means they got to be able to perform anywhere. And then your role players typically perform best at home. But Brunson, man, like, it's just been tough watching him. And it's, like, I'm not ultra concerned, but my antennas are a little raised because it's two games in a row where you've had Oubre just doing a good job defensively on him.
Yeah, I mean, in his defense, they're blitzing and trapping the hell out of him. I mean, and in this season, if you go back and look at the regular season games too, the Knicks had the Sixers number in 3 out of 4, but Brunson's numbers were down about 6 points in the games against the Sixers because they just decided and have decided in the playoffs as well that you're going to need to beat the Sixers with your other guys. And so far that's worked for the Knicks. Like they've just decided they're going to trap him. They're going to blitz him. They're going to throw 2 and 3 guys at him. And then, you know, they're going to force Josh Hart and Dante to beat them. And like, so far Dante and Josh have been up to that challenge. So if Jalen gets untracked, you know, that makes it even more difficult for the Sixers, but I don't think it's a Jalen Brunson's playing badly. I think it's just that the Sixers are throwing everything they can at him.
For sure. And the thing is, like, he's still getting into his spots too, right? Like he's getting to his spots. It's not that the Sixers are necessarily like stopping him, like just from like even getting a good look off. It's that they're very well contested shots. And then at the same time for Brunson, they're also falling short. And I wonder if it's just like, I wonder what's the middle ground between it, right? Is it because it's good defense and we've seen him play against teams that have a lot of wingspan, right? And still we've still seen success during the regular season. I don't know if it's just like mentally, if he's thinking that he has to do more because it's the playoffs and that he's carrying that burden because there's no Julius Randle, or if it's actually the defense is just good enough. And, you know, he's had to play over 70 games this season, had to really help carry this team. And now we're starting to see like parts throughout the season where there's a little bit of fatigue. I wonder which part of that is actually contributing to his shortcomings right now.
I think a little bit of both. I mean, the Sixers are making it harder for him, right? I mean, like they're trying their best to make it more difficult for him than it would normally be. But also, like, give Jalen Brunson a little bit of a break here, because as you mentioned, he's played so many games and he's been so awesome this year, and he makes his first All-Star game, and he, you know, some people had him 5th on their MVP ballot. He's been unbelievable, and they wouldn't have gotten the 2 seed without him. So he has a couple cold shooting nights. Doesn't mean he's broken. It just means he had a couple cold shooting nights.
Yeah, for sure. And I see, where is it? I got George A. Fajardo in the chat saying, relax on Brunson. He got us here. No doubt that he got us here. I'm not even necessarily saying that I'm not even necessarily like putting him down, but I think as a fan, you got to be a little concerned because it's just two bad games in a row. And we thought he would have a successful game two. Hopefully we see a game three, but hey, we'll see what happens tomorrow. I'm looking forward to Thursday's night matchup in Philadelphia. I'm sure Philly fans are going to be rowdy, as you would already know, John, because they're looking to get back on track out there. Let me ask you this about, you know, getting into game three, right? Because okay. Now the pressure has to be immense for Philadelphia, especially, you know, it's not just the series being down in the hole, but also the history of the Sixers since Embiid has been there and trusting the process. Do you see this game as like, outside of like a, do you see this as like a make or break for the series right here? Like Sixers need to win in order for them to stay on track, or is it like they still have a lot of faith going forward?
No, I mean, they're down 2-0, right? Like there's the old adage that a series doesn't start until the other team wins on the road. Well, if the other team, the Knicks in this case, went on the road, they're down 3-0, and then you got to win the next four straight. And sweeping the Knicks in four is, I'm going to imagine, like next to impossible, if not impossible. As it is, if the Sixers want to win this series, they got to win four of the next five, right? So they only have one more game that they can drop. I mean, generally, I try to stay away from hot takey stuff. Like we were talking about, you know, me just like telling you the truth about what the actual basketball looks at right here. The case is that like, this is a must win game for the Sixers. You drop 3-0. I mean, it's a wrap. You might as well be planning your vacation plans. And it sucks because early in the season, when Embiid, prior to the rules changes and Embiid getting hurt and all that stuff, and you know, like that game where he dropped 70 against the Spurs, everybody in Philly was like, yo, this is a really fun season. Harden's gone. Maxey's taking a step forward. Embiid, if he's not going to win another MVP, he's going to be like runner up to Joker, but he was definitely in that conversation. And then the wheels come off again because he gets hurt again. And like, and it sucks because he's gone through all these injuries. And some combination of the basketball gods being incredibly fickle and Embiid's body failing him and just like sometimes things not breaking right, like the game two ending and all that stuff. It's a difficult franchise to follow for my entire life. It's basically like somebody asked me last night what it's like to root for the Sixers. And I was like, I wouldn't use that word. It's more like enduring the Sixers.
Enduring the Sixers. Wow. Well, you know, for Knicks, that's how it had to be. That's what it was for, you know, some
forever,
like 2 decades. So hey, yeah, well, now we're back on track and we can at least say we're happy on this side. So with tomorrow being a must win game, outside of Embiid and Maxey, who've been stellar, who else are you looking for to step up for the Sixers?
Somebody, anybody who's around. Kelly Oubre had a good season. He's good defensively, gonna need more offense from him. Nick Batum is, you know, getting up there in age, but he had a really good end of the season and he's a super smart player. The problem is, like, are you really relying on him to, you know, just can threes every game? It's a tough order, right? Like Kyle Lowry, they pick up on the buyout market, comes home to Philadelphia, North Philadelphia's own. Love to see him in a Sixers jersey. Always wanted to see that. But like, he's limited now too, right? Because he's older. So they have like a lot of different, and Tobias Harris like has been pretty much the bane of every Sixers fan's existence. You know, he's going to be a free agent this offseason. And like, thank you, Tobias. He's as a human being, I've interviewed him a million times, even going back to when he was with the Clippers. He's the nicest guy on the planet. And I wish him well in Detroit or Orlando or wherever he ends up next year. He can't go soon enough. But one of those guys, you know, and D'Anthony Melton, he comes back, who knows if they can get something out of him. One of those guys has to step up because just running the two-man game isn't working. You need somebody else to contribute something.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if, I guess, like, has it been surprising that Oubre hasn't been able to, like, add anything? Or do you think he's just so focused on just having to guard Brunson that he just can't get involved? Because I know Tobias had the hot start to begin this season, but Oubre was that guy who essentially filled in, was the third consistent scoring option. Has that been a bit of a surprise for you this series?
A little bit. I mean, look, Oubre is what he is. Like, they got him on a pretty cheap deal on a one-year contract, and he has exceeded it by a million miles. Like they've gotten their money's worth times 10 out of Kelly Oubre. So I really don't have any like bone to pick with Kelly Oubre. It would be great if he also threw in some like even like a 50%, 60% Josh Hart offensive effort, you know, because his defense is good and he's long and he can harass you and he can frustrate you and he gives effort. So all of that has been good. But Yeah, I mean, I just look at this team and I'm like, I don't know, like, what are they doing offensively for any other extra minutes? And then, you know, the on-off numbers for Embiid weren't, they were terrible in game one, and then they were survivable in game two. But like, how much, this has been the story for the Sixers forever, right? Like, whoever the backup is for Embiid, you just kind of have to weather those minutes. Like, how much are you asking Paul Reed to do, right? I mean, he's fine. But like, you can only really play him 10 to 12 minutes in a playoff game. That's not going to sway the series. So it's got to be some combination of Oubre, Nick Batum, and sure, Tobias Harris.
Sure, Tobias Harris. Salute to Knicks Nation. Thank you all for tuning in for another Game of the Week preview. With me on the other side is my guy, John Gonzalez. You can go find him over at CBS Sports. Does a great job covering the league over there. And guys, remember, not only do you have to support our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, make sure you use that promo code KFTV to get up to a $100 match on your first deposit, but we also got a watch party. We got the KFTV watch party at Sucker Punch, and we also got a watch party in Philadelphia. Let me just pull up and make sure I got the address correct.
Really?
Oh yeah, we got a watch party in Philadelphia for Game 4. So if you want to go check it out for Game 4, let's see. Yeah, Game 4, it will be at the Winston on 461 North 3rd Street in Philadelphia this Sunday. CP will be there hosting it. So make sure to go over there. If you're going to be in Philadelphia for Game 4, don't worry, we got you covered. But for Game 3, Sucker Punch in New York City, you already know what it is. Make sure to go hang out with Knicks Nation over there and get it popping. All right.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, asked you about the Sixers standpoint. I think from the Knicks standpoint, outside of just getting Brunson back and going, I just don't see what much there is to change for the Knicks. Like, I think everything that they're doing has been working. It's just, it comes down to who's going to show up that day as a role player. What? For example, you had Mitchell Robinson do a solid job against Embiid in game one. Hartenstein was the next man up in game two at the five position. Dante didn't show up in game one, but really did show up in game two. Hart has been the most consistent guy on this team so far. And you got some clutch shooting from McBride and Boyan in game two. But obviously they were on one in game one. So for the Knicks, it's like, who's going to show up? So at the end of the day, it's Brunson needs to get going. And then the Knicks just need to make sure that they can maintain the strong presence they have on the glass. That's it. On the offensive side and defensive side.
You just rattled off all those players, and I think you're absolutely right about it. Like, the Knicks have two really good bigs that they can throw at the Sixers. It's a tough job, right? I mean, like, most teams end up using their main big against Embiid and using all six fouls, and you really have 12, which is super, super helpful. But I can we just talk about the irony of, you just rattled off all those players that the Knicks have available that could potentially be influential as role players to help Bowie, Jalen Brunson, right? But the irony of Tom Thibodeau having extra players that he can use in a playoff series, when his like main impulse would be to just play his starters. There's 48 minutes in a game. He would like to play all 552 minutes. Like, the buzzer goes off and he'll just have them run laps.
Hey, it's Josh just Hart unbelievable
that he
game.
Has that many players at his disposal.
It's insane. Like, this is a very deep team. I mean, we haven't even had to go to Precious Achiuwa yet, who was solid.
Yeah, Precious was great earlier.
Yeah, he was great for the Knicks after like a slow start for them. I mean, the team has a lot of talent, but as you said, Tom Thibodeau, I mean, he played Josh Hart 48 minutes in game two. And look, rightfully so, the man was just, he has been so dominant. I mean, you can't take Josh Hart. And there's been a whole discussion about, you know, putting Josh Hart on the bench and, you know, having Dante in there and really having more spacing versus then having Josh Hart. I'm like, I get the numbers, I get the analytics and everything that goes with that saying, where you want to, you know, add more shooters to give Brunson a clearer lane to get to the hoop. But what Josh Hart does is just, the intangibles are just through the roof. The hustle, the effort, his ability to rebound. Like, without him, he's our best rebounder. Our shooting guard is our best rebounder. You cannot take your best rebounder off the court, especially when you're going against Joel Embiid, who's a walking double-double in his sleep. So I just don't see how you can ask for Josh Hart to be off the court. And he's actually had the best outing against the Sixers this season. I mean, he was averaging 14 points, shooting 48% during the regular season, and still getting over 10 boards. I'm like, this guy can't leave the floor if you're just going by those numbers alone, what he did against them in the regular season.
He's crushing it. I mean, look, I've always been a fan, despite the fact that I went to a different Big Five city school. I've always been a fan of the three Villanova guys. Mm-hmm. They're really good. I didn't think they'd be this good. Like, I don't think anybody, maybe Knicks fans when they signed Jalen Brunson free agency, thought he was going to be this good. I don't know. I think, you know, somebody who says that is probably lying. I always liked his game, but he's gone to a superstar level. And I always like Josh Hart and Dante, but they've also like really ratcheted up their game this season. I mean, like, all three of them are on career years, and they're a huge reason why you end up with the two seed, right? Like, you get career years out of those three guys, and now you're off to the races.
Absolutely. And just those guys have just been so gritty for this team. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, their journey to the Knicks, like, they've always had to give 110% wherever they went. I mean, even reading that Players Tribune article by Jalen Brunson, who, you know, he talked about on some teams he had to be the star, some teams he had to be the role player, and he's understood so many different roles. And I think going through that type of journey, you just see that translate onto the court. And I'm sure that has been the same for Dante and Josh. I mean, we can just talk about their NBA careers, where Dante with the Bucks got traded, went to Sacramento, didn't have a good outing there, had to go take the minimum to go be with Golden State. And honestly, the Knicks got him on a solid deal. And now he's, you know, 3-point leader for this franchise. Josh Hart, you know, he got the extension at the beginning of the season, had a slow start because it was just so muddy. But then you just think about all of his stops, whether it's the Lakers, New Orleans, Portland, and, you know, never being part of a playoff winning team. And now he's getting to show and shine what he's been through and showing how important and how valuable he is and how much of a winner he is. And so it's been great just to watch these guys develop. But John, we're coming to the end of the show. What are you thinking for this series in Philadelphia? You talk about game three, game four. What are your predictions? Do you think they split? Do you think Philly takes both of them? What do you believe the outcome will be?
I'm really bad at predictions, but I will say that, like, I think it's going to be more of what we saw in MSG, that the two teams are really well and evenly matched. I mean, like, yo, hats off to the Knicks. They win those two games. Like I said, they close games. They've done it all season. They had to do it in that final regular season game against the Bulls. The Bulls, who really had like no business playing all their starters, and you guys went to overtime, and like, it was two teams fighting it out. And then, you know, now all of a sudden they draw Joel Embiid and the Sixers, and they're like traditional rivals who haven't met in the playoffs since 1989, like, going at it head to head. Those two first games were outrageous games, super fun, super tough, super competitive. That's what I expect. I mean, look, I'd like to see the Sixers win two and make it an even series. Now we've got a best of three on the back end, and like, that would be really incredible. I don't know if it'll happen. I mean, I thought that the Sixers would have won at least one of the last two games, and they didn't. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine. But I think it's going to be really tight, really closely contested, because these teams are really evenly matched.
Yeah, I think it's going to be closely contested, as you said. I mean, these two teams have just been – it's been a bloodbath, man, like watching these games. Like, the physicality has just been through the roof. Honestly, not even as a fan, as someone who just enjoys the NBA at large – this has by far been one of the best series outside of probably OKC and the Pelicans. And even if you watch the Lakers Nuggets game last night, how it came down to the wire, games that, like, you want to see both teams just evenly matched, because I feel like when it comes down to the crunch time, that really shows who's the better team, just like coming to when it comes down to execution. So that's what I enjoy, at least from watching basketball. But I think it's going to be closely contested. I don't know. I want the Knicks to win both as a fan. Right. Just,
oh God, if you guys win both, you're never going to shut up. I mean, like, it's enough with your fan base. Like, I know how Philly can be a lot, but you guys, if you dispatch the Sixers in four games, I think I have to quit and move to a different country. I can't watch basketball anymore. You're going to end up ruining it for everybody.
Oh man. Well, you know, it would probably be at the level of how the Eagles, I guess, won the Super Bowl, right? I mean, instead of us just demolishing the city, we'll be close to it. If the Knicks ever win a championship, God help this earth. All right. Yeah. Because I don't know if the entire world could handle it.
If the Sixers as I said to you, being from Philadelphia means mostly just enduring the sports teams, right? Like, there's always abject disappointment in the end, but especially with the Sixers, where they find new and, like, equally or increasingly painful ways to lose in the playoffs. If they have a first round sweep against the Knicks, their, like, most bitter rival for forever, nobody in Philadelphia will ever cover. They're going to have to send in the National Guard and shut down the city. It'll be awful.
Oh man, I don't think the National Guard will help, but let's see what happens, man. I'm just sticking to the series. Game three should be interesting. Forward to it, especially with how much crying, I'm going to use the term crying, between Nick Nurse and Joel Embiid talking about fouls and discrepancies and stuff of that nature, because Maxie has been a professional about it. It's like, look, we just gotta be better. Like, I appreciate that.
I want to say to you that despite the fact that you're a New York sports fan, a nice guy, if they do win the next two, if the Knicks win the next two, I'm blocking you. Oh, I'm God. Never coming on the show again.
I thought we were friends.
Don't reach out. Lose my number. That'll be the end.
Sheesh. I thought we were friends, John. Sheesh. It's gotten to that level now.
If the Sixers win one game, we can continue this.
Oh, okay. Cool. That I'll make sure. Right. I'll make sure to relay that. All right. Appreciate everyone for tuning in for another Game of the Week preview. John, thank you for coming through and helping me preview this game. Please let the listeners know where they can find you if you got any upcoming work.
Yeah, you can listen to us on our Beyond the Arc podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. We do a show Monday through Friday with Ashley Nicole Moss and our CBS Sports NBA insider, Bill Reiter. And you can also catch us periodically on CBS Sports Network, as well as CBS Sports HQ, which is our streaming network. We talk about basketball every single day, all night. We're always around, so you can find me at John Gonzalez on Twitter. Find Ashley, follow us, subscribe to the pod. We're gonna be talking a lot of Knicks.
There you go. Make sure to follow John. John does great work, man. John's been doing great work for a long time, so make sure to give him a follow on Twitter. Make sure to go support his work. Phenomenal journalist in the industry. And Knicks Nation, thank you for coming through again, tapping into another Game of the Week preview. You already know what to do. Make sure to hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Make sure to subscribe to the channel if you haven't already done so. Also, make sure to support our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Use that promo code KFB to get up to a $100 match. And hey, remember, we got play-by-play tomorrow, so make sure to join JD tomorrow and follow his picks for game three. It says game four. What do you do? I think it's game three. I think there's a typo with this one not saying game four. So make sure to tap in and follow JD first. Sure, if you're going to want to join in the festivities, go to Sucker Punch tomorrow for game three watch along. All right, Knicks Nation is going to be there. Make sure to join the party. You don't want to be, you know, unless you got stuff to do, I get it, but you want to be where everyone's at, right? You don't want to have FOMO, be like, man, I should have gone to this watch party. Go to the watch party. Go to Sucker Punch. Go support KFTV. Go hang out with everybody. Enjoy the crowd for game three when the Knicks are in Philly taking on the 76ers. And hey, if you're going to be in Philadelphia for game four, make sure to go check out the watch party over there. Once again, the watch party is at the Winston in Philadelphia, so make sure to go hit up CP over there, go hang out with him before game four starts, and you will be locked and ready to go tap in for another Knicks and Sixers matchup. All right, everyone, thank you all for joining in. Make sure to follow John. We'll catch you later. Make sure to tap in tomorrow for play-by-play and post-game after game three. We out. The lights get even brighter than you'd ever believe. It's game time. Is you built for this? These colors is forever infinite. Blue and orange, everything.